Can you help keep Bob Enyart on the air for another year? I know you can do it. Every subscription, we're giving away Bob's brand new video on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you ever wondered what happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Have you ever wondered why it is that God put that tree in the midst of the garden? I've wondered a lot of things about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Bob's brand new video version of his insightful teaching on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is free for anyone who subscribes to any of our monthly subscriptions. Folks, I know you get a lot out of Bob Enyart Live, and it's time to pay a little bit forward. Help keep Bob Enyart Live on the air. Call us up or go to kgov.com, subscribe to one of Bob's monthly teaching series, or just make a donation, $5, $10, $5,000, $10,000. It's the Bob Enyart Telethon. We need your help to keep on the air. God bless you.
Warning, warning, there's truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In studio, my favorite author and dear friend, Greg Jackson. Greg, welcome back.
Always a pleasure, Bob. Thank you for having me.
Greg, your book has an endorsement from one of my heroes. In fact, back in the 1990s, I went to Tulsa to speak at a conference, and I got to hear J.C. Watts at a men's prayer breakfast. And you've got an endorsement here from former U.S. Congressman from Oklahoma, J.C. Watts, to your book, We Won't Get Fooled Again, that you wrote with Steve Dace. I'd like to quote from this endorsement in a moment. But first, welcome to the program, J.C. Watts. Welcome, Congressman Watts.
Bob, thank you. Boy, this is quite a thrill. I'm wondering if we might not have the rapture here in the next 30 minutes or so with Bob and Greg in the same studio.
Man, wouldn't that be something?
Well, that would be something. JC, I'm sure there's no way in the world you could remember a particular prayer breakfast that you spoke at a church in Tulsa back in the late 90s. There were a couple hundred guys there early in the morning before work, and I was one of them along with some dear friends there in Tulsa. But you encouraged us greatly. And now your endorsement for Greg's book is so significant. But could we talk about who you are and that you got elected to a statewide office first in Oklahoma and then U.S. representative, and then you left to be a pastor. And what a story it is. So, J.C., talk us through your life. Who are you?
Well, Bob, my life is a total testimony giving thanks to God, because if you look at my life over the last 35 years and going from Oklahoma University football and then playing professionally in Canada, and then I left Canada, and after having the best season I had up there, a new contract on the table, and just felt the calling on my life to move on, I became a youth pastor and did that for 8 years and got involved in politics and ran statewide as a Republican that happened to be black and won, and everybody thought I'd lost it. And then I ran for Congress and won, and then was elected to leadership. And, you know, God has blessed me to be in business for myself and, you know, great wife and kids and grandkids. And when you look at all of that, people look at that and they have to say, that's God. You know, J.C. Watts is not that smart, and he's not that good.
You were quite the quarterback in high school, and then also you played for the Sooners. But still, J.C., you're right. When you look at the total picture of any life that becomes a testimony and a light to show the truth of Jesus Christ, that,
that's right,
that he is our creator, he is our savior. But then going to, not only were you a representative in Washington, but here I was, a talk show host out in Denver, Colorado at the time, and we'd talk about you. I remember one year Bill Clinton did the State of the Union address, and you did
1997.
Was that 1997? And
yeah,
you
right.
did the Republican answer to that. So,
well, I did. You know, it was a thrill to do that for Newt Gingrich's speaker at the time and my Republican colleagues to say, we want you to take 16, 18 minutes to respond to the President of the United States. Bob, as you know, I think that and would attest to, I think that speaks to our nation and, gosh, what can happen when you work hard and you try to be aware of the choices that you make. And, you know, it's just amazing what happens. And that was a thrill for me, and I enjoyed that. And it seems like eons ago that I did that. But
a long time ago.
That was quite a thrill.
Because then you did leave politics, and from what I've learned about you, your integrity, your life, I'm not surprised that you left. Could I read part of your endorsement of the book, We Won't Get Fooled Again, talking about the Christian right and where America has gone wrong? And time again, we end up getting deceived into supporting candidates, leaders, and groups that are actually not supportive of a Christian worldview, not supportive of marriage, of the life of the unborn child, and so on. Now, I've read their book, JC. In fact, chapter 3, I think I'm quoted in chapter 3.
It's all about Bob, chapter 3.
It's an honor to be one of the folks interviewed for the book. But you wrote this, in We Won't Get Fooled Again, Steve and Greg expose what I discovered long ago, that there has been a conservative industry created. Consultants, pundits, media types, and even some in the faith community who use push-button issues to drive us to the polls, to vote for certain candidates, to protect their deal. And you say, conservative voters, we got to start asking the tough questions, and that this is a must-read for every conservative voter, and you won't want to put it down. I absolutely agree with that. In fact, the first chapter was worth the price of the book and far beyond that.
That's right.
But so, JC, you said you discovered this long ago. How so? How did you become aware? Because here, we've been on the air for 22 years, 5 days a week. We've become aware of this conservative industry, as you've called it.
Well, Bob, when I read the first chapter or first 20 pages of Greg and Steve's book, they had actually put in writing the way I felt. And if you look just in the first chapter, the first 20 pages, and when I, you know, I asked Greg to send me, you know, a dozen or so books, and he probably sent me, you know, 12, 15 books, and I've given them out to different members of Congress and different activist types. And
we'll send you more, JC.
And I said, if you'll just read the first 20 pages, I think you'll feel why so many people in the faith community, why they're frustrated. And so, Bob, think about this. And in the first 20 pages, it says, over the last 10 years, Planned Parenthood is more powerful in Washington than they've ever been. The homosexual lobby is more powerful in Washington than they've ever been. We're in deeper debt and deeper deficits than we've ever been in the last 10 years. Said our children's innocence is more threatened than it's ever been in the last 10 years, and yet Republicans / I'm not going to say conservatives, but I'm going to say Republicans have been in charge for probably 65-70% of the time. So that was the thing that captured my attention, to say, me too. That's how I feel.
I'm agreeing with this.
Put it in words.
Yeah. Well, at one point, George W. Bush, he had what every leader would envy in America. He had the executive branch. He was the president. He had the House, the Senate, and 7 of the 9 U.S. Supreme Court justices were Republican nominees, 7 of the 9. So he basically had it all. He had the trifecta.
He had Boardwalk, Park Place.
Right.
Yeah. Illinois, Indiana.
And so later this month, in 2,000 public schools across this nation, they're going to have a day where they focus on promoting the homosexual lifestyle. This is so tragic. This includes elementary schools, junior high school grade levels. And last night, the debate with Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, and I was thinking, you know, Mitt Romney has even put pressure on the Boy Scouts of all groups to support homosexuality. And that is such a tragedy. And so we're getting to the place where the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is increasingly difficult to identify. Mm. And I just read last week where the American Enterprise Institute, this is a conservative think tank, they said over the last 50 years, Republican spending on social programs has actually exceeded the Democrat spending.
Well, Bob, then think about this. Again, last night when I was watching, in 2008, I don't care what you think about Mike Huckabee, but how in the world can anyone in the faith community who plays politics, who has a seat at the table, jump over Mike Huckabee to Fred Thompson, and Fred Thompson's a friend, but jump over Mike Huckabee to get to Fred Thompson and give us John McCain? We saw the same thing that happened in the 2012 elections. And back in 2008, when I talked about Republican spending and Republicans going to jail and our corruption and the things that we were doing, I was accused of being a closet Obama supporter.
Right.
And let me tell you, we don't ever like to admit that our addictions are as bad as the other guy's addictions, or that I feel our feet stinks as badly as the other person's feet. And I think where we are today, this is no more than a personality contest. And, you know, Republicans, we're saying, our guy, yeah, he's really, really flawed. And, you know, he's opposed the Boy Scouts family policy, not just when he was governor of Massachusetts, but in the last 45 days.
Right. And to stand against the Boy Scouts, they've been a stalwart organization to help keep our sons safe and protected with a moral worldview. And to come against that, of all things,
doesn't get much more flagrant than that.
Yeah. And to force adoption agencies to say, you're going to place these children with homosexual parents. And it goes on and on. I mean, I read the court ruling, the Goodrich ruling in Massachusetts, and I saw what Mitt Romney did 180 days later when he was not even a party to that ruling, and he took it upon himself to issue homosexual marriage licenses in that state. It is so tragic that Christians are being, I think, pushed so far to compromise that eventually they will be supporting Obama directly. They will be supporting Hillary Clinton directly. Because if we're told we have to support candidates where you can't even tell the difference, then what's the difference?
Bob, look again over the last 30, 40 days. You need not look any further than the state of Missouri, when all the establishment Republicans and even some Christian conservatives said that Todd Akin should leave the race because he used a bad choice of words. But Todd Akin has been as solid of a voter on family issues, on Christian worldviews, et cetera, et cetera. And man, I'm thinking, if this is the way my friends treat me, why do you need enemies? They literally just slaughtered him.
Right.
And I tell you, I think he's going to win that. I'm going in next week to do an event for him a week from Saturday. And I feel good that he's going to win that. But that would send a message loud and clear to that bunch that I think have lost their way that, hey, we're not going to sit idly by and twiddle our thumbs while our country goes to hell in a handbasket and you guys just push our buttons and allow us to want us to go to the votes to protect your deal. We're going to get engaged. And I think until the faith community, that they see what's going on. And I tell you, Bob and Greg, I think we need to consider, I personally think we need a change of leadership in the social conservative movement. Because, again, those guys are the difference in moving the needle on the issues, the cultural issues of the day, as opposed to just issuing a press release or doing a press conference or getting a shout out on the 6 o'clock news. That's public relations, so you can issue a direct mail piece to raise money. And it's people like that that, again, I think they have bought into this conservative industry, and they no longer are looking to move the dial and impact the culture. And I think, again, Greg and Steve's book blows this wide open, and I think in a very transparent, honest way says, we've got to consider these things. Wake up.
Every chapter is an interview with people who've been in the conservative, pro-life, pro-family fight for decades. So these are insiders. And the story that is exposed, that unfolds page after page, it's almost sickening to see. Now, Todd Akin, Let's talk about him for a moment more. I'm so glad you brought him up, JC. I imagine both of you guys know Dick Bott from Bott Radio Network.
I know Dick well.
Yeah, he's a principled man.
One of the good guys, yeah.
He is. He and I spoke yesterday about Todd Akin, and we were talking through when Mitt Romney and Karl Rove and the whole Republican establishment jumped on an inartful phrase. He spoke thoughtlessly. He didn't speak well, but that's just a slip of the tongue for a moment out of a lifetime. When they jumped on him and they risk losing the U.S. Senate to the Democrats, what's motivating them? And Dick Bott agrees. I agree. I don't know what you guys think, but I think that Mitt Romney and Karl Rove and the Republican establishment are willing to give the U.S. Senate to the Democrats in order to take a stand against a conservative Christian worldview that would say you don't kill any unborn children, regardless of rape or incest. These kids are made in God's image, and so there should be no exceptions. That's Todd Akin's view. He holds a personhood view that we're to love and protect every child, and that's what they were fighting against.
You bet it is.
Wow.
And Bob and Greg, consider this. That was just kind of the crescendo. But remember back early on in the presidential process, probably 2 years ago, and we had the governor of Indiana and several other folks that came out and kind of sent a shot across the bow saying, we need to put the social issues to the side until we can get our economy together.
Right.
You remember in 1998 when we had the impeachment of President Clinton for lying under oath, what was the mantra of the Democrats at the time? They were saying, as long as the economy is good, it doesn't matter about anything else.
Mm-hmm. Private matter.
And man, fast forward 14 years later,
that's
the mantra of the Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the reality is, as the Bible says, what good are vast revenues with injustice? When you promote Republicans who don't care about innocent life, the life of the child, who don't care about marriage and the family from a biblical worldview, then those Republicans are going to be liberal spenders. And we have seen this now for decades, that the Republicans actually outspend the Democrats. And Romney Care, this came out in the debate last night, and it is verifiably true that Obamacare is Romney Care. They are the same program.
Without the $50 copay abortions that Romney Care had. It's actually to the right, right?
Yeah.
It's more conservative than Romney Care.
Romney Care was worse.
Was Obamacare on steroids.
Because it had tax-funded abortion on demand. It still does. And it had the individual mandate.
And now they're for free.
And the Romney advisors who designed Romney Care went to the White House a dozen times, even the Oval Office, meeting with Barack Obama to build Obamacare. And now we have the Chief Justice, John Roberts, who we warned about. We put out a press release back in 2005 warning pro-life leaders that John Roberts was pro-abortion, radically even pro-homosexual marriage, and he was not with us. They ignored that warning. And now because of who? Arlen Specter, who was campaigned for by National Right to Life, and John Roberts, and all these Republicans who, like Mitt Romney, they've actually given us Obamacare.
Yep.
And this is where we're at.
But, you know, again, if you're fortunate enough to be on Greg Jackson's email list.
Right.
He would have been warning
you. You're the first person that's ever said that, JC.
You're saying, I can't, you watch when he, you know, Greg, you repeatedly said in debates, there's going to be a time that the president's going to say, you know, Governor Romney, I patterned Obamacare after Romney Care.
I want to thank you for it.
Yeah. And last night, the first debate out of the box.
It's coming.
Well, it happened last night. Your prediction came to
pass.
Well,
it's going to be even stronger in the next debate, I believe. JC, I want to ask you a question because this really is one of the most, I think, frequent questions that I'm asked, I'm sure you're asked, that I've struggled with, which is the notion of voting for the lesser of two evils. I'm often accused of being party to putting Obama back in office if I don't support Romney, who is supposedly the lesser of two evils. Although on paper, if you look at their records, I could make a very credible and plausible argument that actually it's Romney. I just gave you one example, Romney Care having the $50 copay abortions and right. Obamacare not having them. But there's other examples as well. Actually, on paper, being
Obama
to the,
would be mm-hmm. the lesser of two evils.
He could
if
be.
You look mm-hmm. at their records.
That's right.
And I interviewed
Brian Fisher.
That's right. The American Family Association, JC. And I love those guys. I love Don Wildman and his son. I love what they do, but they seem to, when you get partisan politics in front of them, they seem to lose their minds. And I asked him, I said, if we could establish objectively that Obama is the lesser of two evils, would you support him? Would you vote for him? And he said, absolutely not. So then what is it? You're not supporting Romney because you think he's the lesser of two evils. There's something else going on. What is causing these Christian leaders to not be able to think when it comes to politics?
Well, it's interesting. I think if you look at any one of the presidential candidates, I personally could have found flaws in all of them.
Sure.
But there's certain things that, as a believer, that I have a very difficult time with. And, you know, my pastor, who happens to be black, stood up the Sunday after the Tuesday election and said it was a proud moment that we had someone that looked like me that got elected to the White House this week. He said, and I'm saddened that I could not have helped him. I did not vote for him.
I agree.
He said, simply because
right.
he said, I could not vote for someone that makes it a matter of policy, of public policy, to kill babies.
JC, I couldn't agree more with your pastor. I'm pretty white. I'm putting my arm up next to Greg Jackson. I think I'm whiter than Greg. But I said, after Obama won, I said, you know, the only good thing that just happened is that America elected a black president. That's a wonderful thing to show that we are at least to some degree overcoming our racism. So that's the good news. The tragic news is who we elected. I mean, if it would have been Alan Keyes
or J.C. Watts
or J.C. Watts, the nation would be well on its way to recovery.
Absolutely.
But it was somebody who rejects even the right to life of the most innocent among us children. We were at the debate center yesterday, J.C., for 12 hours. There was a debate row on the University of Denver campus. And so we were there to debate the personhood message, the right to life of every unborn child. And I tell you, media from around the world, the students, the professors, and young people today do not believe in right and wrong. They don't believe in truth. They don't believe in information. They don't believe in the laws of logic. We have reached a point where this godless, atheistic worldview has completely permeated our culture. If you call them a man or a woman, they get offended. They actually, yeah. One man in a group of students was offended that I referred to him as a man, a sir, offended. What right do you have to think that about me? And he wasn't even a homosexual.
Yeah. Well, Bob and Greg, I can tell you this. The truth is not neutral. We want the truth to be neutral. It is not neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth takes sides, you know, consciously, unconsciously, good, bad, indifferent. The truth takes sides. And, you know, I've got kids, and if one of my kids says that 2 + 2 = 5 and the other says 2 + 2 = 4, lovingly, I would say, no, sweetie, 2 + 2, it's not 5, it's 4. Some would say, oh, you've shattered his image.
Right,
you've shattered
right.
her image.
Right,
to,
right.
You know, to,
self-esteem.
But life, none of us necessarily like correction. We don't like it at 7. We don't like it at 77. But let me tell you, those who do well in life, especially from Scripture, it's those who can handle correction. And
yeah.
that's what athletics is all about, to position people on the field, on the court, that they can do well.
Yes, J.C.
Yeah, positioning people on the field, on the basketball court,
yes.
that's what the coach's job is.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you or Greg to, you know, say, J.C., no, 2 + 2 = 5. You know, buddy, it's 4.
Mm.
And I say, well, they're mean, they're insensitive, they're racist, or whatever I might say. I'll tell you, we have become so politically correct that we don't have any convictions about anything anymore.
Mm. So I know you need to get to a meeting, J.C. We would love to FedEx to you a DVD, a documentary called Focus on the Strategy. I think you'll be thrilled to see it. Steve Dace spoke about it at a banquet he addressed just a couple weeks ago. So we'll send that to you if that's okay with you.
Good deal. And I think, Bob, I've got your email, so I'll send you my address.
Wonderful.
Actually, you asked me about that the first of the week, and well, I just got in off the road last night. But I will send you my address. And let me say, I hope your listeners will track Greg's book down, he and Steve's book, because it is a great read. And not only is it a great read, but I associate myself with the comments that's in there. I just wish I would have written them.
Wow. J.C. Watts, well, what an honor.
I'm truly, truly humbled and honored. That was Steve and my prayer as we wrote the book, that it would glorify God and that it would advance truth. And you were part of that prayer because we prayed that people like you would come along and encourage and inspire. And I just want to thank you for all of your help. You've been an inspiration and a great encouragement to both me and Steve.
Thank you, J.C. Watts.
Well, guys, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Pleasure to see you. Bye-bye.
Greg, what an honor to talk to J.C. Watts. Hero for so many years.
Amazing man.
And to have him affirm, to corroborate what we've been saying on this program for 22 years now.
It's encouraging.
To have one of the nation's heroes, the shining light of a Christian conservative Republican voice, agreeing with Greg Jackson and Steve Dace. What a day it is. God
Amen.
Bless you guys.
Can you help keep Bob Benyart on the air for another year? I know you can do it. Every subscription, we're giving away Bob's brand new video on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you ever wondered what happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Have you ever wondered why it is that God put that tree in the midst of the garden? I've wondered a lot of things about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Bob's brand new video version of his insightful teaching on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is free for anyone who subscribes to any of our monthly subscriptions. Folks, I know you get a lot out of Bob Benyart Live, and it's time to pay a little bit forward. Help keep Bob Benyart Live on the air. Call us up or go to kgov.com, subscribe to one of Bob's monthly teaching series, or just make a donation, $5, $10, $5,000, $10,000. It's the Bob Benyart Telethon. We need your help to keep on the air. God bless you.